Today in the Grave Talks, Raised by the Supernatural, a conversation with Sophia Temporelli. Sophia Temporelli grew up and lived in an actively haunted house for much of her formative childhood years, a home that was not haunted by a friendly or pleasant spirit, rather something that certainly had ill and dark intent. This would lead her on a life quest to find answers as to who, what, and why the dead seemed to be surrounding the living. She started investigating the paranormal at age 8 and started her own broadcast about the paranormal at 12 years old. The paranormal and supernatural are truly an ingrained element of her life. This is her story today on The Grave Talks.
You know, I wish I had a clear answer on that, but I don't think I do. I have just always had a fascination for the unknown and the paranormal. I mean, I loved Scooby-Doo growing up. I was a weird toddler. Sleepy Hollow was like a favorite movie of mine because you know, normal toddler things.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's super normal. I mean, the Hex Girls were like icons to me. I still have Pop Funkos I recently got because, you know, who doesn't love Scooby-Doo's The Hex Girls? So I've just always had an interest. You know, my parents are kind of eclectic. You know, we had like Haunted Mansion stuff. I mean, that was just super normal. They took me to one of the openings of the Haunted Mansion movie when it came out. So it's just always kind of been a family thing. But I think deeper down psychologically, I've had, you know, experiences from before I can remember that I know. So I lived in a haunted house, and now I didn't have experiences that I was aware of until I was about 9. But looking back, after we realized the house was haunted, we started realizing some of the things from before that time period were kind of like, oh, that's unusual. One of them was, I don't remember this at all, but my mom said I would stand with my back against the garage door, just staring frozen. And I wouldn't move if she called me. She would have to physically come up and touch my hand for me to move. And I think things like that probably stuck with me somewhere in my subconscious that I don't even remember, that kind of led me to having an interest in the paranormal and having an interest in, you know, the spooky side of life, whether it's Scooby-Doo or the Haunted Mansion or the real side of it.
Sure.
And yeah, so it's just, you know, I think there's things from a time I don't remember, but I think starting out, I've just always liked weird stuff. And then when I was about 8, my parents, for their anniversary, like I said, they're a bit eclectic. They decided to go do something special for their 10-year anniversary of their wedding. And they were, you know, what's super romantic? A ghost tour. So we lived super close to the Queen Mary, and they decided, hey, let's go on a ghost tour there. And they noticed that a psychic named Peter James was running the tour, who, if people don't know, was actually the psychic featured on Sightings, which was their date night when they were, first started dating. They would watch Sightings and the X-Files. So for them, that was like a really big moment. And they decided, you know, that's really kind of full circle. So they decided to go on this tour hosted by Peter James. And for some reason, I just got really jealous. I was like, why am I not going? And so my parents are like, oh, yeah, no, okay. So they contacted Peter and said, is this safe for Sophia to do? And he said, yes, there's over 500 ghosts on the ship and they're all my friends. Bring her on the tour and I'll have her call out to the ghost girl, Jackie. And this would happen to be Peter's final tour before he passed away. So, you know, the thing that kind of initially started my parents' interest in the paranormal as a couple ultimately led to, you know, my dad writing a book for Peter because they just really felt a bond with him. After the initial meetings, and Peter really wanted his story out there. And so he asked my dad to co-author the book. And then, you know, we went to paranormal events after that, and it just kind of happened naturally. So it started from an interest to just kind of being thrust in it, you know, after the book was written.
Sure. What an interesting way to kind of dive into this. That's a unique story. I don't think I've heard one quite like that after talking to hundreds of people. Like, yours is very unique. That's really cool, though. So tell me about the house a little bit more. You said, you know, when you started to look back, there was the incidents where you're staring at the garage door and mom has to come and physically take you away from it. Mm-hmm. What other things did they look back on, your parents specifically, where it was kind of like, yeah, that was kind of weird. Maybe there was more to that.
Yeah, so we had been in the paranormal about a year at the time. So I started when I was 8 as an investigator. And when I was about 9, we had lived in this house. Well, I had my whole life. From the day I came home from the hospital, went straight to that house. So I grew up in that house. And so did my father, actually. So my dad's adopted, but his father was a paranoid schizophrenic. So from, I don't actually know when my dad moved in that house, but I would assume a very young child. Mm-hmm. He lived in that house until he was 9 years of age, and he had to move out due to my grandfather's mental illness. And after my grandfather died, my parents moved in, and I grew up there. The ghost in the house was not my grandfather, I will state that.
Okay.
So there's just little things from the time of my dad being a child that you look back and think that's weird to when I was. When I was about 9, I just kept feeling like I was being watched everywhere. It felt like the ceiling, the walls, everything were covered with eyes. There was not a single place I could go where I did not feel like I was being watched. And one day I was in my parents' bedroom and I saw a man standing in my mom's closet. Obviously, no one should be in there. And I knew that it wasn't a real person. I knew it was a ghost when I saw him. And so I told my mom, I was like, there's a man in your closet. And my mom has never been one to tell me I was wrong. She didn't know what to think because, like I said, we had lived there for a while. Me, 9 years, my parents probably almost 12. And my dad, being the guy who wrote the book for the psychic, said, no, that's your imagination. So that was super helpful. But, you know, just after having that experience, my mom at this point didn't know what to think. My dad thought it was my imagination. One day my mom was putting makeup on in her vanity and she heard 3 knocks from the inside of her closet door, which again, no one should be in there. So my parents grabbed a recorder and they caught voices on it. Really clear EVPs that said, I'll help you put these lights up, which for people who hadn't seen my old house, my mom had, kind of like this circular chair in there and it had a chandelier type lighting on it that no one knew how to mount. So it'd been sitting there for a couple of years. You would think that's a really helpful ghost. No, he wasn't. He was super creepy, very weird. Another reason my dad would have thought it was all in my imagination is the ghost was solely focused on women, which is, this is important too, because after we realized it was haunted and my parents started telling their friends like, yeah, there's ghosts in the house. Any one of my mom's female friends who would, you know, house it when my parents would go on vacation or, you know, just go away for a weekend, said that they felt physically uncomfortable in the house. But of course, no one's going to tell you, hey, your house really creeps me out.
Mm-hmm.
But these women were having these experiences from before we even knew.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had these experiences when I was, God, I don't know, like 1. I could walk, but I couldn't talk at the time. So I'm not really sure what age range that is.
Yeah.
And when my dad was younger, my grandmother actually said that one of their neighbors had come over and said, there's ghosts in your house. And my grandma's like, yeah, sure. Like, what do you think when someone says that and you've had no experiences there?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was that. And, you know, it was just little things for the years. At one point, my other grandfather, he had died, not in that house, but he... You know, my grandmother hadn't gotten out since he died. And it was her first night just going out, having fun, you know, dancing for New Year's at the Knights Hall. And my mom encouraged her to go meet some guys, you know, go, don't be alone the rest of your life. Go meet someone.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandma went out. She had a great time, was dancing. And that night on New Year's, I was at my aunt's house, but my parents were home alone. They were in the kitchen and my dad physically saw a piece of metal fly off of a shelf and hit my mom square in the back and she felt it. He saw it fly 6 feet away.
Yeah.
And this is before we knew the house was haunted. So my mom thought it was my grandpa just saying, why would you go encourage her to meet someone else after me?
Sure.
But looking back, like that was the ghost trying to make contact. So it was things like that. Or when I was younger, I loved Charlie's Angels, and Drew Barrymore's character was my favorite. So my dad got me an autographed photo, and my parents put it up because obviously, why wouldn't you? You got me an autographed photo of Drew Barrymore. And I was like, you have to take it down. It's watching me. You have to remove the photo. And they're like, why do you hate Drew Barrymore? And I think looking back, I was associating the face on my wall with a spirit actually physically watching me.
Mm-hmm. Just the eyes that are looking, that you think are looking at you. Yeah. Was your parents wondering at all at this point in time? You know, you try to narrow down everything that's going on, and, you know, you obviously are acting a little different, you know, in terms of how you're reacting to things. And you're saying some things that otherwise would be construed as just, this is not quite right. Maybe not paranormal, but maybe paranormal. Were they wondering, like, is there something going on with her, you know, mentally? Did they take you to a doctor or anything? Just to kind of like cover their bases? Or were they?
No, not at all. I mean, I was like 3 or 4 years old.
Okay.
So, I mean, every little kid has, like, you know,
sure,
some form of a nightmare or stuff.
Okay.
So my mom just wanted to make me feel better. My dad thought the solution was watching Nanny 911 and deciding that that was the right parenting route. Wasn't. So they just figured, because I didn't want to sleep in my room.
Yeah.
My mom just wanted to hold me and make sure I was okay. And my dad wanted me to leave the room. So he was like, Nanny 911 says, just leave the door and they'll figure it out themselves. So he tried that. I'm very stubborn. So that didn't work out very well for him.
Yeah.
Like switching sides of the bed. So when I went to go find my mom, it was him. And then I realized that. So I just go to his side. So, you know, his tricks weren't working really
sure.
well. And my mom just felt bad because she never wants to see me sad or scared.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was just so little. It wasn't ever anything like that. I mean, mm-hmm. I couldn't even talk when I was standing with my back against the wall. She doesn't know what's going on with me. So she just, you know, I don't know. It could be a spider or something. Who knows?
Sure. Could be a lot of things. It wasn't quite time to say that there's some sort of disorder going on. It's just, kids say strange things. Kids act weird sometimes, and then you get Nanny 911. You see, when I was a kid in the 90s, it was let's watch Rescue 911 and learn about all the horrible ways we could die from tragic accidents. And then William Shatner comes on and narrates that and Unsolved Mysteries. Those were the two that we would get sat in front of.
So for my parents, it was really just, you know, they just figured that it was just the normal kid things.
Yeah.
And I think looking back, you realize that there was more to it,
mm-hmm.
but it was, you know, stretch out over a long period of time. I was like 3 or 4 years old when I was having the Drew Barrymore problem. I couldn't even talk when I was standing frozen. Mm-hmm. So my parents didn't think anything of it. My dad was annoyed. My mom felt bad. So it wasn't like anything like that. And then when I started seeing the ghost, my parents didn't know what to think. Just we had already been in the paranormal, so they understood ghosts exist. So did mm-hmm. I. And but since we had already lived there for so long and had no experiences, so we thought that they just didn't know. And then when they started catching the EVPs and the activity really ramped up and progressed from there, and then it became very apparent to everyone there was an actual situation in the home.
So your parents then started to experience more things as well.
Yeah. The thing that my dad always says that really sold it for him is that the pug saw the ghost. We had a pug mm-hmm. Named Lucy, and I would say where the ghost was. And at random times, she would go stand in the hallway barking into my parents' bedroom super violently. And that's where the ghost would be. So my dad said that really confirmed it for him, because not the child, it's the pug that does it for you. And my mom, you know, they had caught the EVPs too. So that really confirmed it. But my cousin had also stayed over one time, and she was sleeping in my room. And I guess I was sleeping in the bed next to her. I don't really remember because I was asleep,
mm-hmm.
but she said that she saw a man standing over us, watching us, wearing a white t-shirt and blue jeans, which is exactly how I saw the ghost. And I don't believe at that time she actually knew that's what he looked like.
Mm-hmm.
So she saw the man standing over us, and she got really scared and like hugged me.
Yeah.
And by the time she blinked, he was gone, but she saw him clear as day, like an actual man was standing over us. We had psychics come over to our house that confirmed it. And my mom started feeling like she was being watched while she slept too. So it was that. My dad's like an old 80s drummer, and you know, that's extremely loud.
Yeah.
I mean, those drums are really loud.
Sure.
And you would hear, like, one time my mom was there, my dad, my uncle, and my parents' friend, and I was there, and you heard and my dad's other friend heard a loud, like, boom on the side of our house. So the ghost had actually made it sound loud enough that you could hear it over all of that music.
That'd be quite a sound.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like someone just hit the house with something really big. And there's no recreating that. There's no debunking it, because that shouldn't have happened in the first place. There was nothing to make that happen. And everyone heard it. So, I mean, it just became more apparent. I had diamond doves in my bedroom too. And anytime the ghost would be standing in my doorway, my mom could actually walk through and the hair on her arms would stand up, and she would, her body would buzz, like your arm falls asleep, kind of that feeling.
Yeah.
And I could see him and feel him. And the diamond doves, anytime he was around, would just start bouncing off the sides of the cages. Like, the animals in my house could tell that there was a spirit there.
Yeah. So what is the attitude with your parents at this time of, they know there's something going on? What was the thought process? They were just wanting more confirmation that they're not crazy. Are they wanting to actively get rid of this? What was the goal at that moment?
Yeah, so I'm not really sure what my dad's whole thought process was, because it was mainly focused on women. I could be sitting in his office and feel like I'm being watched for an hour. My mom could feel like she's being watched while she slept. My dad didn't feel anything. So I'm not really sure what his thought process was. But for my mom, when she was feeling like she's being watched while she slept, she honestly thought it was her imagination because of everything I was telling her, until we had a psychic come over and he was pointing out every single spot the ghost was. And he said, and he stands here right next to her bed. And she hadn't told anyone that she felt that way. And he picked it up and she realized, oh, wow, this is real. He's watching me too. My mom, I will always say, is, I really feel like if it was an actual horror movie, she'd be one of the first to die, because she's one of those people, hears a noise in the house, hello, who's there? And it's like, I don't know about that. So she was more interested, I think. But when the ghost started becoming more fixated on me and getting closer to me, because he would always just, like I said, stare at me, watch me. I didn't feel comfortable at any point in my house. But my room, I had a couch bed and a loft bed.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was so young, I was like, oh, couch bed, that's fun. I'll sleep on that. But, you know, one day my mom had to clean my room. So she was changing the sheets and I slept on my actual bed. And that loft bed was like extremely high to the ceiling. Like, a normal person would just hit their head. But because I was so little, it didn't matter. I would see him standing in my doorway and I was like, okay, he can't see me. I feel safe. Like, he's there, but he doesn't know where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would go to sleep feeling really comfortable because I knew, like, he didn't know where I was. And one day I'm going to sleep and he'd actually climbed my loft bed ladder and was about a foot away from my head, just watching me sleep. And I don't know how I fell asleep that night. And I don't really remember the timeline of how long it took for me to tell someone. But the day that the psychics came over to investigate our house, I was like, Mom, there's something I really have to tell you. And she said, not now, sweetie, we have company over. So I took her friend aside, who's not in the paranormal, and I said, I have to tell you what happened. The ghost was watching me sleep. So she pulled my mom aside and told her. So at this point, only myself, my mom's friend, and my mom know. And one of the psychics walks by my room and goes, there's a man on that loft bed ladder. And that was the last night my parents had me sleep in my room. They had me sleep in their room from that night until we moved out of the house. So I think when they realized how close they had gotten to me, there was a fear for both of them and a large concern that he could physically harm me.
Yeah.
And what he could possibly do. So, you know, we had teams come out, try and, you know, get rid of the ghost, clear it, tell us what's there, what's going on. But nothing helped. No one could help. The only thing that helped was to move. So I think after the point when they realized how close he was to me and how vulnerable I was in that moment, it turned from, you know, interest of what's going on here with, like, you know, how do we get it to stop to this is really bad and mm-hmm. we don't want anything to happen to our daughter.
Sure. How would you you said it made you feel uncomfortable. Now, mm-hmm. to try and compare that to a creepy human, how would you make that analogy? Is it like the creepy guy at Walmart that's following you around at the end of the aisle? Or is it just an uncomfortable feeling? How would you, kind of associate that with if this were a living person? Obviously, a living person staring at you sleeping is pretty freaking creepy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just the feeling so others can understand what it was like.
Joe Goldberg from You.
Okay. So yes, it is kind of like the creepy guy at Walmart almost. That's
the guy that watches you while you sleep, while you change, while you get ready for school, while you're watching YouTube videos, while you eat, while you talk to your friends. Joe Goldberg from You. That's how I could describe him.
Yes, that's a great analogy. My God. Yeah. So you feel that when you look at it retrospectively, do you think that it had negative intentions? Do you think it was just a dead person that thought, this person can't see me, I'm just going to hang out and be an ass? Or what?
No, he was definitely a bad spirit.
Okay.
I'm not psychic. I would say I'm a sensitive. I can kind of tell if, like, a ghost is bad.
Yeah.
And I can just kind of tell if they're there. I can't tell you who they are or mm-hmm. what they want or any of that. I'm like a smoke detector, you know, just, like, not super helpful beyond just telling you it's there.
Yeah.
But every psychic that came by could tell he was bad. Any woman that felt his presence could tell you he was bad. See, the point in time, my grandfather was a paranoid schizophrenic. That was not his ghost, mm-hmm. but he became a ward of LA County. And back in the 80s and 90s, when he was a ward of the county, they did not take good care of their ward. So he died without heating, electricity, just alone on a floor. And because no one was checking on him, homeless people or anyone who wanted to could break in the house and do whatever they wanted. And so there's a period of time where there's just no, you know, anything could happen in there. No one would know. There would be no record. So we can't tell who that ghost is, but I can tell that he did not have good intentions. And, you know, he had his sights set on females. And I think that's really telling too, that he's not just some guy that wants anyone's attention because he's been dead for so long. He's mm-hmm. very fixated on women and only women.
Do you have any suspicions or anything? If you looked up the history of the property at all, obviously there's that window there you just talked about where there could have been who knows what that would have happened there. But did you do any digging into that?
No, we didn't. I know the house was built in the 40s. I don't know much beyond that. I do know that my grandfather, before he was a paranoid schizophrenic, well, obviously he didn't just become one, but before the signs started showing, he was a very intelligent man. He was a doctor of economics, very clear-minded, everything. He actually used to guard the Pope in Vatican City, Rome.
Wow.
So, you know, he wasn't one of the papal guys. He was the guys wearing the black suit and ties that would take a bullet for him, like the Secret Service of the Pope.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was very good with everything. But, you know, because he was so devout in his faith, I think that, yes, he did have a mental illness. But I think that if there were any ghosts there pre-existing, that they were preying on that mental illness and making everything way worse. Because for him, his life was to the Bible. Mm-hmm. But when a ghost preys on that, it makes it all angels and demons and that, you know, the devil's coming for him or something.
I was actually just going to ask you about that, because this is an interesting line that I think we see in many cases. I mean, obviously, there are mental illnesses out there that are within ourselves that should be treated, that you know, and should be taken care of. But I think we see time and time again, many people who are suffering from something like that, they get preyed upon. And we see a lot of cases where, they're suffering from this or that, but there's clearly something else going on with that person that isn't part of that mental illness, but science and doctors will just write it off as all part of the illness. Obviously, you were very, very young. Or were you even born when he had passed away?
No, I was not.
Okay.
My parents got the house before.
Sure.
They got it in like 97. So okay. He probably died in like 96 or early 97.
Do your parents have any feelings on that or any? Because obviously they were around when he was around. Do they have any feelings or suspicions as to anything paranormal that was going on, you know, simultaneously with his disorder?
Well, my mom never really met him. She met him once when my dad was in his 20s. And he didn't recognize my father because after my dad moved out at 9, he never saw his father again.
Okay.
So there's no like gauge on what could have been happening in that house or anything because it was very unsafe for my father to be around him. Mm-hmm. So it was in his best interest to basically leave the home and not see him again.
Sure.
So, you know, he didn't know my parents. I know that when he saw them at the Taco Bell, he told them what a beautiful couple that they were. Uh-huh. So it was kind of like he gave his blessing without even knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in the time that my dad didn't see him, he would write letters every day to him, you know, just because he loved my father so much,
mm-hmm.
but he just wasn't in the right state of mind. But my parents, I think, do agree that, you know, he was mentally ill. That's not up for dispute.
Sure.
But what could have accelerated it or maybe aggravated it could have been a spirit in the house.
Yeah. How interesting. I mean, just and someone, you know, who's suffering from something, there's a lot of negativity that, you know, because the mm-hmm. frustration, the everything that goes along with that, that in itself, just the energy. You know, seems like it could create things in itself, but that's a whole other, you know, rabbit hole to go down. So, I mean, tell me more about, you said you were starting investigations at 8 years old. Bravo to that. And I was out in a cemetery with a proton pack pretending I was a Ghostbuster scaring people who were visiting their dead loved ones. That's how I did my childhood. Tell me more about like that. Tell me more about getting into mm-hmm. investigations and what that meant for you.
Yeah. So like I said, my parents went on an investigation at the Queen Mary for their anniversary. And I was just really jealous. I was like, why can't I go? I don't know if it's like an olden child thing or just pure interest. But I was like, I really want to go. So they took me on the Queen Mary and I just fell in love with investigating. And so the Queen Mary was my first ever investigation. I've been back there so many times since. Actually, it was on the Queen Mary Ghost Adventures episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to film with Zach and the guys there, which was a lot of fun. But, you know, after my dad wrote the book for Peter, we started going to a bunch of events and my mom is... She's just very motherly. So she would bring like food and stuff to events and, you know, people at other booths, all the, you know, celebrities in the field, they want food too. So sure. They would come over and start talking to us. And so we just would be invited to a lot of other events because of that and investigations. My dad would be invited to events due to the book. People in the field would invite us to investigations because they got to know my parents through food my mom would bring. And it just really progressed from there. My parents had the chance to investigate Alcatraz. They wouldn't take me because I was like 9, which hurts my feelings because I want to go to Alcatraz.
Sure.
Like, I want to go. The Boy Scouts spend the night there. I don't care how many years ago it was. I'll still be sad about it.
Yeah.
So we had opportunities just through that, going to events and meeting really great people. It just really progressed from there. That's really how the investigating happened. You go from the Queen Mary to just all the events, which most of the time have some form of an investigation attached. Mm-hmm.
After you moved out of that house mm-hmm. as a child, did the next house have anything that came along with it? Did anything follow? Or was that kind of closing the book on your residence being haunted?
Yeah, no, thank God. So I'm in the current house that we moved in afterward. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it's not haunted. But I will say, just being so young and having a guy stalk you, I mean, Joe Goldberg, but in a ghost, it's very traumatic. It's very scary because you're so young. You're coming home from school if you have a bad day and you're basically in this prison. It's like, you don't feel safe. Your home is where you should feel the safest, and you don't. And that really kind of scars you in a way that you can't otherwise explain or describe unless you've gone through it, you know? Investigating is not going to leave you the way that living in a haunted house does. And now I understand not every haunted house is bad, but in my case, it was. And it really, it kind of just traumatizes you. So even if, which I did move out of the haunted house, it scars you. And there's just no other way to put it. I mean, the haunting's still around, just in different ways.
Well, I mean, it's almost like you were living with an invisible, you know, almost like predator for many years of your young life at that point in time. And so, yeah, that would be a trauma. And then trying to, I mean, that was your norm. I mean, so then then going to a place that wasn't haunted, did you feel comfortable there? Even though there wasn't paranormal activity going on, did it take some time to kind of get readjusted or like reassured, like, okay, this is not bad? I mean, it's like someone coming out of an abusive relationship too, where it's like you start dating somebody else. It's like, are you going to start doing that shit too? I mean,
yeah. I would say I'm more hyper aware when I investigate of not wanting to bring anything home. I get like, after I investigate, I'm like uncomfortable for a few days until I know that like I'm good, like nothing's there. So I think that will always stay with me. I didn't really have any adjustment time because I was just so happy to not feel like I was being watched constantly. I can play video games by myself, like completely by myself, no ghosts, nothing.
Yeah.
And that's such a nice feeling. I can listen to music. I can play with my dogs. So I feel safe again being in a home, but I don't think that I will ever feel completely comfortable anywhere. You know, it's hard to sleep sometimes because you still worry that there's just going to be someone there. And it's, I don't think, I would hope maybe it would, but I don't think that's ever going to change for me.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Sophia. In part two, has Sophia ever had any suspicions that there was something paranormal in the new house? How did Sophia begin broadcasting about the paranormal at the age of 12? What are some of the most surprising things Sophia has learned in her years of broadcasting? And what is it about the Queen Mary that makes it such a haunted location? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bursky. Thanks for listening.